TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. Because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Now go away.
Okay, listen, it's Friday the 3rd of March, 2023. This is a live broadcast. Yes, it's live. We're coming at you live out of the Gold Coast in Australia, out of Brisbane, to be specific. That's where we're beaming out of. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and whatever you're doing, I hope it's nice. You're very welcome to stay tuned for the next 55 minutes here for the Locked and Loaded Show with me, Rick Munn. I am your host, your presenter, your instigator, your agitator, call me whatever you like. I'm going to be gracing the airwaves for another 55 minutes or so, talking shop and talking to a new guest. We've got some new blood on the show this hour. We have Fifi Rose, who will be joining me from the UK, who is heavily involved in the Stand in the Park movement right across the country. And I'm sure many of you that are listening in will either have partaken in that or at least certainly be aware of it. I want to delve into how important it is with Fifi, and also what led her to start the movement up here in the UK after conversing with a friend of hers over in Australia, which I think is where the Stand in the Park movement really did kick off. And it has spread right across the globe since it, and it's a very important, how would I say, outreach that's held and has been held over the last few years, especially during the darkest lockdown periods that we all had to suffer to a greater or lesser degree across the globe over the last 3 years. So that's coming up in a few minutes' time. Just to make you aware, I'm looking at some of the news items here. I like to try and pull a few more lighthearted ones out towards a Friday. Essex Police are claiming that a 5'5" neurodiverse female recruit can take down assailants. Essex Police Force is highlighting that a female recruit aged 18 and described as autistic and dyslexic is assuring the public that she can hold her own against the assailants. And I have no doubt that it doesn't matter how big she is or how small he or she is or whatever build they are. Yes, you can take care of yourself maybe if you've been well trained. But there's a lot of people being recruited into a lot of jobs at the minute just for the sake of diversity and equality. And I'm a big believer that whatever job you're doing should go to the best person, the most competent person, and the most able person to do whatever particular role that there is. I can remember back in the day, if you wanted to join the cops here in Ireland, you had to be at least 6 feet tall. If you were a male, you had to be at least 6 feet tall and fit. Okay, so if I rocked up to the police recruitment agency today, being vertically challenged, let's just say, and not in the best physical state, they would say, yeah, Rick, you're welcome. But in the past, they would have said, excuse me, little man, off you go. We need to keep the policing and the heavy duty work for the big strapping chaps. And that's just the way it was. And that was just accepted. I'm not saying that's a good thing. But what I am saying is there's a lot of jobs being filled by people in the world right now that, you know, they're being recruited on the color of their skin. I think it was Essex Police put an ad out yesterday. They said they wanted 50% of their police force to be either black, female, or LGBTQ, whatever. That's fine. If those 50% of people are the right people for the job, I have no problem with the entire police force being black, LGBTQ, and gay, or whatever, as long as they're the best people for the job. That's not the issue here. The issue is competency. Okay, so this small female cop, God bless her, I hope she's not being sacrificed on the altar of diversity. I really don't. But maybe she's as tough as nails. Maybe she could crack a few skulls. Who knows? But I think we're going to find out over time. Just hope she's okay out there. An affront to real women everywhere calls to boycott Hershey's, which is an American sweet manufacturer, cake or bun manufacturer, mount after the company features a meal in its International Women's Day promotion. So yeah, International Women's Day with Hershey's, the dude in there representing women. You know, you can read into that what you want. You know, keep Women's Day for women. That's what I say. A Men's Day for men. If you want to have a trans day, have it. But you know, leave off the ladies. Leave off the ladies. A teen has bragged in a rap song about shooting. This is in America. A teen has bragged in a rap song about shooting a rival rapper, says a sheriff. But when he was arrested, he cried like a baby that lost his dummy when he was charged with first degree murder. So guy goes out, shoots a rival, then writes a song about it, bragging about it, thinks he's a gangster. Then he gets nabbed by the police. He's going to face first degree murder charges and he starts crying like a baby. Listen, if you're going to mess around when you're going to live a certain lifestyle, be prepared for the outcomes, positive and negative. And there's an old meme doing the rounds at the minute. You know, if you F around, you'll find out. I think this wannabe rapper has just got the sharp end of the stick when it comes to, what is it? F-A-F-O. Anyway, if you follow Twitter and you're watching memes, you'll know what I'm talking about. So those are some things that have caught my eye here this morning. Just to make you lovely people aware, we have a website. As I'm sure you know, most of you are probably on it right now, tntradio.live. We have an extensive back catalogue of all the interviews and the chats that we've had with everybody right the way back to the beginnings of the station, which is January of 2022. So if you've missed an episode or you've been on the show maybe and you want to share your glory with all your friends, families, relatives and the wider world out there on social media, you can download the episodes on Spotify, Apple Music, Podbean directly from our website and stay connected with us perpetually here on TNT Radio.
The news you want.
They cover the important story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, massive, 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 massive TNT welcome to Fifi Rose, who's a friend of a good friend of mine, Mr. Trevor John, who's an absolute diamond and legend and a regular on Locked and Loaded, has been for about a year now. Fifi, he told me about you. He said you were a lovely person. Trevor is a very nice gentleman indeed. And he said it would be great to have a chat with you. And he told me a little bit about you and what you do. So here we are. The dream has become a reality, at least for me anyway. Hopefully it won't turn into a nightmare for you. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And new blood, no offense, I always call new guests new blood. It's nice to have some new blood on the show. We're getting more of it over the last few weeks. So I don't know if you know anything about us. We've been broadcasting for about a year now, just over a year, and we're growing. We're an independent voice. We're trying to make people aware of things that are out there, things that are happening, and solutions to problems, not just highlighting the problems themselves. And that's one of the reasons why I'm keen to talk to you this morning, because a lot of times I get asked, what do I do? How do I connect with people? How do I network with people? I'm isolated. I'm alone. I don't know what to do. So maybe this conversation today, maybe even will link some people up with some other like-minded individuals in their area through this initiative that you're part of, which is a stand in the park. So tell us about that. I know a little bit about it, but tell us about it, how you got involved with it and how it has grown pretty much exponentially over the last few years. Give us the down low on Stand in the Park.
Okay, so a Stand in the Park originally started in Sydney, Australia. It was, I believe, August 2020. So it's a very, very good friend of mine, an old travelling buddy, Brady Gunn, who came up with the idea. Obviously, Australia was really, really under the cosh. They had it so much harder than we did initially. And so, yeah, Brady was in the same position as a lot of us, desperately wondering what can we do. There were protests happening, but of course, these are kind of one-off big events and what happens during those times in between. And there was obviously massive isolation. People didn't really know where to find their kin, their like-minded people. There was a lot of nerves and anxiety about being awake and aware of this situation, because pretty much everyone looking out there was going along with it. So he just decided to get along to his park. This is when all the restrictions were in place. You were not allowed to be just outside in a park, even on your own at that point. So it was quite a revolutionary act to just go and stand in your park and refuse to move. So it's a very intentional kind of energetic stance at that point. There wasn't really a vision of this huge movement or collective. It was just one man saying, I'm not having this. I'm going to damn well go and stand where I want to in a bright yellow vest, put it out there if others wanted to join. And God bless him, he stood in that park for 3 months on his own, resolute every Sunday morning. And eventually people did start to hear about this thing, and slowly, slowly people gathered and other people were starting it in their park. So then kind of jump forward to December, January 21, I got in touch with him just out of the blue. It was one of those real, you know, synchronicities. It was obviously something that was meant to happen. We'd been out of touch for a few years. Got in touch, he told me about it, and I was like, it was like the light bulb moment. Aha, this is the thing. This is the thing that I've been waiting for, because I was in the same position as him. What do we do? What do we do? We've got to get the people together. And so, yeah, that was it. It was like, why don't you get one going in your park? And before you know it, it was, I was heading up the whole, I founded a Stand in the Park UK, and we had 800 parks signed up.
It's amazing. And this is a great story. And I like stories like this, because it all has to start somewhere with somebody doing something. All right. So in this case, it was your chum Brady in Sydney. He says, you know what? I got to do something. I got to get out and be a revolutionary in 2020. That wasn't taking arms up and storming Parliament buildings. That's literally going and standing in a public park. That was a revolutionary defiant act against the government in 2020. But he did it. Fair play to him. And I think an important part of what you said there was, for 3 months, he had nothing in terms of a response. He had no response in 3 months. And that's very important too, because a lot of people have great ideas and a lot of people want to take action about certain things. And when they start, sometimes people can get very disillusioned very quickly when they don't get the they don't see people flooding towards them. They don't see legions of people with yellow vests flying into the parks. It's like, am I crazy? Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe nobody's interested. But if you believe in something enough, all right, and you're persistent and you just keep standing in that park, I am sure that despite the fact that this has grown right across the world, I would bet money on the fact that his biggest rush was when the first person came up to him in that park in Sydney. I would bet money on it that you don't forget how it starts to take off. As big as it gets, it's fantastic, but he'll never forget that first person. And then one becomes two, becomes three, it spreads over to the UK. Then you've had 100 parks and there's hundreds of thousands of people doing this. I think it's a fantastic story, if nothing else, about the importance of persistence and not getting disillusioned and disheartened when you don't see an instant reaction or an instant response. Is that a first comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was the same for me. You know, I just remember vividly that first day in the park. Again, we were completely locked down, heavy restrictions. We were allowed to be outside, but only, I think at that point you could be in pairs and it had to be for exercise, you know, all this ridiculous so-called legislation. And so I was skulking around the park with one of my sisters thinking, oh God, you know, is anybody going to turn up? I was trailing anybody I saw wearing yellow. Now, I very rarely see people wearing yellow. It's one of those colours, really, that it's just not that popular for right. some reason. It is now. But it seemed like everybody was wearing yellow. And so we were kind of scurrying around, are these our people? Mm-hmm. And We were standing on our own for a long time. And I was very, very prepared to do exactly as Brady had, because we were completely on the same wavelength. It wasn't even so much about getting masses of people. It's that personal stand. I will not go along with this. The hope that others would feel inspired to join. But regardless, I'd be doing it anyway. And the rush of having that first person side over and whisper, are you a stand in the park? Yes, my God, we've got one. We've got one here. Don't let them go. It actually turned out we had, I think it was 18 people on our first date. For some reason in the UK, once the stand in the park hit the UK, the whole movement exploded. It was just ripe for Britain in particular for some reason. So fortunately for me, I wasn't having to stand there for 3 months questioning my sanity, which I know Brady did on a regular recurrence. But I was absolutely committed to doing that if that's what was necessary, because the kind of the guiding force behind it was a very personal thing. I am not having this. I will stand here and I will make my stance. I will do this purely for myself, if that makes sense.
It does, because it's an amazing, I really like this conversation. This is the kind of thing that I think will give people a lift if they're listening, and also make them realize that there are options out there. Some people are very wary these days, because there's a lot of opportunists out there as well at the minute, as I'm sure you know, that are preying on the fact that people want to connect with new people in case the internet goes down, and they're coming across, there's a lot of predators out there too, and a lot of people would take advantage of individuals or groups of people. I think the good thing about the Stand in the Park movement is that you can meet in a communal area. Everybody is, in a public place at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning at the local bandstand or wherever it happens to be. So although there's nothing is, 100% guaranteed to be safe and secure, it's as good a place as possible, I think, to meet new people and at least get a feel for them, and at least size them up and let them size you up a little bit as well. And then if you want to, from that point, you can go ahead and develop relationships or, tighter groups as a result of that. I think it's a great introduction to meeting new people, maybe if you don't have a circle of friends that are maybe a little bit clued in or like-minded individuals. We're going to take a real quick break here, Fifi, but just a minute or two, and when we come back, we'll expand on this a little bit more, how people can connect with this if they're listening and they're curious about it. How do they connect with it? What do they expect when they go along? Maybe you can explain a little bit about that, what expectations people should have if they go along to these events. We'll get onto that issue in a minute here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
TNT Radio's James Freeman.
On this show, we talk to people from all over the world. I've interviewed people from America, England, Scotland, Ireland, Germany, Italy, Sweden, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Ukraine, and also Russia. Now, one of the things in common across most of these countries and the stories that we've been told is about the media and the governments of those countries and how they have acted in lockstep since the start of the pandemic. Censorship of dissenting voices on lockdowns and the vaccines have also been a common theme across all of these countries, as has coercion and mandates on the COVID-19 vaccines. Disappearing political opposition as well. We've seen that in the UK. There has been no political opposition over the last 3 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this very strange, because number one, in most of these countries, this is not the kind of behaviour we've become to expect from government and the media. It's not normal. But number two, it's odd, isn't it, that it's happened in exactly the same way across all of these countries.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. they are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
I heard President Biden keeps the nuclear codes in a folder on his desktop called Miscellaneous.
Come on, man.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're having a chat here with Fifi Rose, reference Stand in the Park. I'm having a look through our live chat. A lot of very positive comments in there. Some people are asking a little question. Some people are a little bit skeptical about the Stand in the Park movement. Okay, well, you know, people are skeptical in general out there. One person in particular, Keenan Crane, has said, Stand in the Park is another control group. Then he goes on to say, it's okay for finding like-minded folk if you're lonely. Yeah, that's, I think, the purpose that the thing was actually brought together for. Of course, any group can be subverted. Any nutter can come along and try and break into any groups and make them to be something that they weren't set out to be. But hey, what are you going to do if you don't like it? Make your own damn group. Administer it yourself. He says, he asked me to ask you, Fifi, what about taking it to standing in the streets, please, Rick? Well, it's called Stand in the Park. If you want a stand in the street group, make your own bloody group up and form it yourself. You know, with all due respect, stop bitching about what other people are doing. And if you don't like what other people are doing, get off your arse and get off the keyboard and go and stand in the street yourself. And I say that with all due respect. I'm just sick to the back teeth of people bitching and moaning from the sidelines. I don't like them. He's not doing this right. Well, go and do it yourself. That applies to anybody that's listening. I have a problem with certain institutions. Guess what? I leave them. If I don't like them, I leave them. I avoid them. I set my own up. I do things my way. And if I don't like what's being done, then the fault lies at my own feet. So, sorry, old Keenan, old friend, nothing personal in that, but I'm just, that applies to everybody out there. It's not just directed at you, it's directed at me, it's directed at Fifi, it's directed at Murray, it's directed at anybody. If you don't like something, the way something's done, don't associate with it. And if you think it should be done differently or better, do it yourself. Is that a fair point, Fifi, or am I just being a radical here?
No, I would say it's a very fair point. You know, almost from day one, I've had those things levelled at me. Within 2 weeks of starting a Stand in the Park UK, I was being called out as a shill. I think someone said I was an MI5 agent, which was hilarious, given, you know, at that point I was living in a caravan with no water supply. And I thought MI5 agents would surely be given better digs than that. Yeah, I agree. You know, of course, there are many, many options of what we can be doing. But this is my chosen one. You know, standing in the street, standing wherever. So go ahead and organise that. And actually, the great thing about a Stand in the Park is it's kind of the it's a hub where all of those ideas can actually be come up with in the first place. So Rebels and Roundabouts, for example, lovely folk, they started off at their Stand in the Park and they got the idea that, right, we've got these people together, what's the next thing? And that was always very much part of the organic process of a Stand in the Park. Okay, so wow, we've got people together, now what? And there's that constant question, now what, now what, now what? And so that's when you see, other groups evolving that would not have actually evolved had they not met at first in their park and made those connections.
Exactly. And by the way, in terms of Stand in the Park being a controlled outfit, I have no doubt in my mind that there will be people that try and infiltrate your movement. I have no doubt in my mind.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not a question of there won't be people trying to get into the organization to subvert it and some bad eggs coming along. I've no doubt in my mind, TNT Radio, we're a tight ship here. But as we expand and as we get bigger, I would be shocked, absolutely shocked, if people weren't sent our way to subvert us or to be a plant within our organization in any capacity. It's just the way that these things work. And in a way, it's a good sign too, because if you do have people infiltrating your ranks and you do have people trying to subvert you and make you into a controlled opposition movement, that's a positive thing because it means you're a threat in the first place. Otherwise, people wouldn't be subverting you. And I'm a little bit like yourself and your chum Brady. I've been called a Satanist, an occult practitioner, a Freemason, a shill, controlled opposition, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm like you. I started off my career in my car, in a car park, in the middle of the night, making 2-minute clips that I uploaded onto Twitter. And I'm still doing that, right? Nothing has changed there. I ain't the Satanist, the shill. But listen, people are going to think what they like. I have no problem with people having a different opinion than me. I've no problem with people not liking me, but I am a big believer in saying, okay, if you don't like me, just don't listen to me. If you think I'm bad news, avoid me. Tell whoever you want, but do your own thing. And if you think you could do it better than me, well, then fill your boots, start up your own podcast or start up your, or apply to your own broadcasting local areas and get yourself out there in the public sphere. That's just my own take on it. And I think if you adopt that attitude, Fifi, makes life a little bit easier. You don't get caught up in throwing rocks and, you know, worrying about who's doing what. Just focus. I think this is a message for all of us, to me included. We need to focus more on ourselves and what we're doing rather than looking over our shoulders at what everybody else is doing. Is that a reasonable approach?
Absolutely. I think you go insane otherwise, because it's yeah, I mean, it's constant. And with so much stuff online, that's the thing. That's where this all tends to kind of stem from. It's not actually going on within the parks. Obviously, it was very key to have people meeting physically. It's absolutely integral to so that isolation isn't felt. Also, yeah, you know, if the internet goes down, then what? But the thing is, with a stand in the park, these are all autonomous groups. So every park, that's their own group. There's no leader here. I mean, I'm kind of the facilitator. I'm not passing down rules and regulations and you must adhere to this, you know, very basic loose ones at the most. So I think it'd be very disappointing for anybody trying to infiltrate a stand in the park as a whole. It's not actually possible because this is a people's collective. They're all individual groups, which, like I say, there's no hierarchy. So that it would literally have to be an infiltrator going to every single park and trying to do whatever it is they want to do, which I think is not realistic. So we're very lucky because of the kind of structure that we're not really open to that kind of wide scale abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Who knows what way things will turn out and what way things will end up, but at least you're doing what you can with what you have. We've got to take a real quick news break here. Fifi, literally only a minute, and we'll be right back with a little update on the wussy that asked you the question. And once I tore him a new asshole, he's ran out crying, threw his toys out of the pram, spat his dummy out, and he's left the chat because he can't take the truth. But anyway, yes, it's all good. Listen, if you come on this show and you criticize me or my guests, don't think because I'm a radio host and because you're being an asshole on our live chat that I won't get stuck into you, because I will if I have a reason to do so. So warning is served. But anyway, we'll be back after the news here on TNT. For all the people that have remained, we love you all. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio News.
Big news.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. An investigation into a cluster of mysterious symptoms and illnesses experienced by American diplomats around the world, known as Havana Syndrome, has shattered the theory that Russia is to blame. Hungary's prime minister has called for Europe to develop its own alliance free of American influence, and Poland has cut aid for Ukrainian refugees, forcing those staying in Poland's state shelters for more than 4 months to cover 50% of their own accommodation costs.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Yeah, so the reply was, and normally, to be honest with you, I don't give trolls or imbeciles the time of day here on the chat, but you know, sometimes they need to be put in their place. So the response was, this is such BS. They're killing children, young adults, and old folk. Yeah, let's stand in the park and not the streets. Well, again, stop whinging about it. Stop crying about it. Put your dummy back in your mouth and go and form your own movement. Stand in the streets rather than type on the keyboard UK movement, or talk crap anonymously on the internet movement. Get off your ass, put a jersey on yourself and start your own movement. Don't be such a wuss. Then he goes on to say, I'm out of here. And then, of course, comes crawling back again with more to say from behind the keyboard. Listen, it's easy to be a Muppet. It's easy to be a numpty. There's no shortage of those. Maybe you should start a Muppets Are Us movement and go and stand in the streets. I'm sure you would have plenty of people standing alongside you. But anyway, let's move on. Yes, if anybody's interested, so if anybody should be listening in, anybody with a functioning brain in their head should be listening in and says, I want to get involved with this. I want to meet up. How do they do it? You have a website. When they go onto the website, how does this mechanism work, Fifi?
It's really very simple. Just if you want to see if there's a park near you that's got a stand going, pop onto the website. It's all designated by country and region, area. And yeah, the lists of parks are there. So obviously if there is a park near you on there, just pop along on a Sunday, 10 o'clock. If there isn't a park near you, why not get one going? You can just get in contact. I don't know whether you want any contact details now, maybe nearer the end.
I can give the website address. It's www.astandintheparkcom.org. So that's the website address. And you make a good point there, Fifi, as well. Much is the same I was telling our disgruntled listener, that if he doesn't like something, do it himself. If there isn't a stand in the park in your area, if you're listening in, well, you could possibly start one up, as your friend Brady did, or as you did within the UK. So if you go onto the website, www.astandintheparkcom.org, I think there's a list by country. You can drop down your country, and then I checked it out for Northern Ireland last night. I went onto the website. It's very easy to use. It will give you the town in which they're operating, and also the location within the town, and they all operate at the same time, don't they, every week? So it's always 10 to 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning, is that right?
Yep, that's right. So it's 10 to whenever you want, really. Most of us are there for a lot longer, but 10 to 11 is the official stand, if you like. And yeah, you know, we've all started our own. That's why this is a people's movement. People have literally just got in contact. It's very easy. Give us the park details. And we put it out there, we'll advertise it, and so other people can then go along and see. And that's how this whole thing got going.
Here's the other thing too. Let's look at managing expectations, right? Because everybody has their own set of expectations about what an organization is or what it should be doing, okay? And there are some, let's just say, hardcore groups out there that are very militant in what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's great. If you're into that sort of thing, other people might not. Other people might just want, hey, I just want to see somebody that thinks the same way as I do, meet up with them for an hour or two on a Sunday morning, have a laugh with them, improve my mental health a little bit. So it's not a case of you're signing up to a set of rules and regulations. It's literally a hub where you can connect with other like-minded individuals. And in my opinion, it's the mental health side of this organization is, for me, the attraction to it. It's not the fact that they're going to you're going to change the world by standing in the park. No, it's a way to strengthen people and make real life connections with people in case the internet goes down, or in case you don't have a support network, or in case you need literally somebody to talk to once a week in your local town or village or city. So if I was to go to an event for the first time, or somebody was to go to an event for the first time, what could they expect when they arrive? They're not going to be met with somebody with a clipboard and ask for ID and sign up their mailing list and all this. This is just to manage expectations, because people will be thinking, well, I don't want to sign up to stand in the park. I don't want to be on a mailing. I don't want people to know all my business. So I'm coming for the first time. What should I expect?
Well, you will definitely not be met with anybody with a clipboard. A stand in the park, I don't even know if the term organisation applies, really. As I said, the groups are completely autonomous. Anybody starting up a stand, you can do it anonymously. We don't have to have your details. Need an email address, but I mean, that can be whatever you want. Don't even have to give your name. All the groups are very different. So some groups are really activist minded. You know, they're really out there doing stuff there. You've got others where it's a lot more of a social gathering. Like you say, the mental health aspects are, it's so important. It serves that purpose. I've had so many emails and messages saying it's literally been a lifesaver for people that have been so, so isolated and going through really tough times. We're very visible. It's not just standing in a park. It was, people have to remember as well, that at the time this started, it was revolutionary. We were absolute rebels. We had police, we had people arrested, it was Orwellian. And the reason we keep this in the parks with our bright yellow is we are a visible stand against this whole entire, what do you even call it now? It's just evolved into a big, you know, it was a scandemic to begin with, and the lockdowns.
It's a regime now. You know, it's just an oppressive regime.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what you could say. Yeah, that we're standing against the regime. So it's, you know, we could all just meet and then splinter off as, oh, well, we'll just go and sit in a pub and have a chat. No, people know we're there. We've been doing this for 2 years now over here. And we have people who have been walking past for maybe a year and a half, and they suddenly feel safe to come over and say hello. And yeah, I mean, what to expect? It's really entirely down to the people that you're meeting with. There is a place for everybody. You can just go along to have a nice chat on a Sunday and feel that sense of community. We've got people who have got community gardens going. They're building all kinds of incredible things together. Very much part of the protest scene. If you see any footage from the protests in the UK, there are stand in the park flags everywhere. So the idea is stand on the streets and things like, yeah, we've been doing it, mate, for the last 2 years. We're already there. We're at every event you could name. It's really multi-purpose.
Do you know Big Mick Chaves? Do you, Mad Mix?
Yes, yes. I
do.
Well, I don't know him personally, actually, but I know who he is.
Well, I've had, he's a good chum of mine, and he's been on Locked and Loaded quite a few times. I've been talking to him for about a year now. He was a big believer in the Stand in the Parks groups. And from that, he then did the yellow board movements. And then he went out and did the roundabout work. He was serving notice to people. He was bailing people out of police stations. He's at just about every major protest in Oxford against the 15-minute cities. But that evolved from the stand in the park, which brings it back to the point that we were originally making is, okay, if you're standing in the park and you're thinking to yourself, this is fantastic, this is wonderful, but I want to take it to the streets, or I want to go and stand outside a local community centre, make people wear handout leaflets, well, then you can do that. There's no rules and regulations or guidelines. I think the important thing the point that I'm trying to make here with you, Fifi, is this is a connection point for people, like-minded individuals, to come together. And from that connection point, you can then maybe evolve that to do something that you feel led to do, or to go further than maybe your local stand in the park group's going. But either way, it's an initial connection point. And from that, you can assess it yourself. You can say, yes, I like this. I'm going to come back every Sunday. Or maybe within your group, you could say, well, you know what? Let's go and hand out leaflets at a local community center. Let's go to a local protest. Let's take it to the streets. I think that's the point. You can use it as a springboard to further activism if you want to, or just simply, if it's fulfilling your needs, just to meet a few people and smile and have a cup of coffee on a Sunday morning. Well, that's good. As long as it's helping your mental health, I think it helps a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. I mean, most groups are doing outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Most groups are doing those things already. It's a natural process. Like I said, okay, we're here together. What now? Because the stand in the park, like I said, it was never just standing in the park. A stand in the park was to make a stand against the regime in the park. You know, that's what it was born of, these horrendous restrictions we were under. Of course, you're also standing in the park. So you've got that play on words. But we do have on the website, there are leaflets you can print out. We've got business outreach, you know, a little template for people to follow. Outreach for just, you know, your regular public in town centres. There's no limit to what can be done from your stand. Mm-hmm. I will never dictate to people what they should be doing. The stands belong to the people. It's entirely down to them. I will put things out there and say, hey, this is something you could get involved in. And it's absolutely up to individuals or groups as to whether they want to go that way. It's the stand is what you want it to be, what you need it to be. Mm-hmm. So it serves multi levels. And the important thing about keeping them going is we've got new people coming all mm-hmm. the time that are just waking up, and they're going through what many of us were going through 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're that point where they can come, they've, you know, loaded with questions, not knowing which way to turn. So that's why it's really important to keep going and stay visible, because we're only going to see more and more people getting a clue as to what this whole thing is about and where do you turn.
Well, the fact that it's grown from one guy in a park in Sydney, right across the world, even in your case in the UK, to, you know, 800 different parks just within the UK alone, and I don't know how many thousands of people that are benefiting from this, it's certainly a worthwhile endeavour. We've got to take another quick ad break, and when we come back, let's look at maybe the future, what the future holds in the UK, and how important it is to already have this stand in the park infrastructure in place now, should they decide to try and do another lockdown style event, or clamp down on the control even further. At least, how would you say, the foundations are being laid now and being built on with the movement that you're part of. And let's look at how that might play going forward over the next few years. So listeners, please don't go away. This is TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
The Heartland Institute had a big climate conference in Florida last week. I was there. And I see that the Daily Kos is attacking the climate conference. It says they sent copies of its two-page climate denial pamphlet. Now, let me just say something to any objective human being on the face of the planet. If someone is going to write an article that claims people deny climate, why would you even read that? That's a lie right off the start. We all know there's climate. We all know there's climate change. So here's my point. This entire article, and you should read it, it's on the Daily Kos, all right? Go read their paper or whatever it is they put out. Does not address the issues that were raised, the factual revelations that are being shown to counter the argument. All they do is attack, and they use Alinsky taxi, isolate, demonize, and destroy. And why not? It's Marxist. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Several Soros-backed DAs are facing recall petitions, including George Gascon, DA of crime-riddled Los Angeles, and Pariza Degani Tafti from Arlington County and City Falls of Church, Virginia. Steve DeSano of Fairfax County, Virginia, elected in 2019, endorsed a progressive platform typical of the left-wing DA faction, making official policy not to prosecute more than 20 different crimes, including shoplifting for goods under $1,000, prostitution, and indecent exposure. Loudoun County District Attorney Bhuta Bibaraj, who championed anti-incarceration, made headlines for personally seeking jail time for Scott Smith, a father who was arrested for misdemeanor disorderly conduct at Loudoun County School Board meeting while protesting the school board's cover-up of his 14-year-old daughter's rape in a school bathroom. Bibaraj is now facing a recall petition.
Rick Mudd.
The little rascal has spirit.
On TNT Radio.
Okay, we're just wrapping it up here today. This is my last little 10 minutes on air, and it's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you, Fifi, for the first time. Hopefully, if it hasn't been too traumatic for you, we'll get you back at a later date for more updates and more insights, maybe about what's going on in the UK as a whole, because we're focusing on this one particular thing, which is what I wanted to do today, to try and give you guys as much exposure as possible. And I know you're well known, but maybe there's someone out there that doesn't know about your organization yet and that will connect. And all I want to see is people linking up and giving themselves a boost. That's what I'm trying to say, really. So going forward, we've had the scamdemic, we've had the COVID nonsense, we've had the ridiculous rules and regulations. And when you were talking earlier on about me meeting in the park and staying a certain distance apart, it brought back a lot of memories to me. I mean, I can remember my local park. It's huge, and it's about a, you know, it's about a 2.5-3 mile walk all the way around, you know, the outside of it. And the when you were allowed into that park, they had a one-way system in operation where people could only walk counterclockwise. And I remember one day I walked the opposite direction, and I actually had to walk on the grass because the footpath was so full of people, literally all coming against you. There was thousands of them all walking around counterclockwise like good obedient people, and it was in disbelief. And they had little police cones, you know, the little mini police cones that are only about 6 inches high. They had those on certain parts of the pathways with a little piece of sellotape across them, and people stopped in their tracks. They wouldn't go on that part of the path. So it's triggering a lot of strange memories for me, but I think we both have a sense of humor here. And if you don't laugh, you cry. And when you reflect back on the shenanigans and the skullduggery and the madness of it, I think we need to laugh at it now, but also to make sure that doesn't happen again. So I don't think they're going to convince people that there's a deadly virus again, or maybe they will, to stay in your houses. And if they do, at least the infrastructure's there. But the threat, I think, is coming now from the so-called ultra-low emission zones, the so-called 15 to 20-minute neighborhoods or communities. That's something that they're trying to introduce the concept of right across the UK and right across Australia as well, and different parts of America. They're starting to seed this idea into people's heads. And if they do that, they won't want people traveling around and moving around. In a way, even if they do implement that, it could be handy for the stand in the parkers, because probably everybody lives within a 15 to 20 minute walk of the stand in the park anyway. So even if they do ban the cars, it should be possible to get to your local SITP event. This could actually work out in your favor. This could actually boost your numbers through the roof. What do you reckon?
Wow. I really hope that wouldn't be the reason that the numbers grow. But yeah, you've got a point. I mean, the madness, just thinking back as well. And just bringing people together it's been wonderful to see. From the beginning, everybody was so nervous, so anxious, you know, it was just shell shock, really. Mm-hmm. And then to just see as time progressed, people empowering each other, to get out there, to also get on the streets. So many people that had never been to a protest in their life, they don't miss a single one now. They're there with their flags and their placards. They're out there doing outreach, chatting to people, which is something they never would have felt comfortable doing before. So that's kind of where I see things heading now. When you talk about the 15-minute cities and things like that, people are really, really engaged with, you know, stands are getting together and they're getting out into their local towns and informing people. We've got the flyers, we've got the leaflets, we've got the information. So many of us were in Oxford a couple of weekends ago. We're moving into, I think 2023 is hopefully going to be the year where we see the protest movement really pick up again. Out of necessity.
Here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. It's great because you're educating people out there, and people that aren't in the know or that don't really follow what's happening outside of their TV or outside of the mainstream media, you know, they think this is a good thing. Oh, they're cutting emissions, they're cutting noise emissions down, and it's not a bad thing. They don't really understand what this is all about. So you're educating and informing people. And of course, you're going to get people, you're going to get the whingers and the naysayers saying, oh, what difference will it make? You're handing out flyers. That's not going to save us, is it? No, it's not. But what you're encouraging people to do is use their brain, which is the first step towards saving yourself. Use your brain, and hopefully that will translate into action. And of course, like TNT Radio, we do not advocate violence. Not at all. Never, ever, ever, ever advocate violence. Peaceful non-compliance. And already, I think that's why I was referencing the foundations have been laid with the movement that you have and the principles that you guys have in Birmingham at the minute. The Birmingham City Council have said that they cannot possibly process the amount of people that are not paying the fines that they should be fined for polluting the atmosphere of crossing across the one zone or another. There's tens of thousands of motorists out there that are simply saying, to hell with you and your system. I ain't complying. I'm not playing ball. I think that's the key here, Fifi, if we can get enough numbers together and then translate that into non-compliance. You don't have to lift a stick. You don't have to throw a stone. You don't have to throw a punch or a kick. You just simply have to say, I'm not having that. My friends are not having that. We're not having that. We're not paying your fine. We're not going to go down this road that you want us to. We're going to walk clockwise around the park if we damn well feel like it, and there's nothing you can do about it. How important is it to get that mindset into people's heads that peaceful non-compliance, mass non-compliance is the simple answer to all these problems that we have?
100% is what I've been saying from day one, and that's what a stand in the park was founded on. I'm not having that, actually. I'm going to go to my park and I'm going to stand there as long as I want. And if the police come, let them come. I'm not going anywhere. Totally peaceful, always has been. Any protest that I'm involved in the organising of, absolutely known for being overwhelmingly peaceful, almost celebratory events, where people are literally getting together to stand for freedom and truth, which is all the stands say. That's all it is. We stand for freedom and truth. So there's no place for violence or discord. Everybody's welcome. And that's all it takes is non-compliance, and this is over en masse.
Yeah. And with the benefit of hindsight, if that had been the case right off the bat, and approaching the 3-year, I think, anniversary, it's not something you should really be celebrating, but we're coming up to the 3-year point. I think it was the 23rd of March, 2020, was when they first told everybody to stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. You know, that mantra stuck in people's brains forever. I just parroted that off without even thinking about it because it was everywhere at every point. And at the time, I think right at the very beginning, some people knew that there was something off, but it really caught a lot of people by surprise, especially those that didn't keep up with what the governments were capable of. And certainly, I think within maybe a month or two, even those with a little bit of inkling, a bit of critical thinking ability were able to say, hang on, something stinks a little bit about this. And as a result of that, then people started to come together. I think we've got a better advantage this time, Fifi, that if they do start pushing another lockdown through alleged bird flus or Marburg virus or smallpox or monkeypox or whatever other pox that they want to roll out to us, or climate type lockdowns with these ultra low emission zones, I think we've got a little bit of an advantage this time in that the infrastructure's there, the numbers are there, and the numbers are growing. You're not going from a standing start this time is what I'm trying to say. And that's encouraging too, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, we've kept the fires burning. You know, when things calmed down a bit, you know, a lot of people kind of drifted away. But it was so important to us to keep it going, because when things do kick off again, as they will, we're already there. We're not starting again. It's here we are. Come on over. We're ready to go. And I think that's when the numbers really are going to go through the roof. Confidence has never been so low in the government. We're having all these things leaked out now. It ain't going to wash much longer.
No.
So we're ready for them.
We've got a radio station now this time as well. We didn't have a radio station last time, but we got ourselves a big fat radio station, and we can broadcast until the cows come home. Yes, we can. And I can talk to whoever I want, and I can get you on if I want, and we can broadcast you if we want. And that is all I'm going to say. Listen, Fifi, it's been an absolute pleasure. We're up to time. The time flies by here on TNT Radio, but we'll stay in touch anyway. Big thank you for coming on, and to Trevor John for connecting us. Murray in the studio, sterling job as always. For all the lovely people in the chat, thank you so much. For the listeners, to my mum, my dad, my agent, my local council politicians, I want to give a big...